when the sun comes out to shine eternal. I hope for the best, but here comes the colonel.
They just can't stand it, can they? I mean, this is a serious science program, and they got to sneak in here and disrupt the program. Well, welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science. Nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to our guest. Today's guest is Delilah Megrahi. She's with the University of Massachusetts at Lowell, Director of Research Center for Computer, Machine, Human Intelligence, Networking, and Distributed Systems. And that she founded that, as a matter of fact. She's going to be finishing up her talk from the first half hour on residue analysis and aerial imagery surveillance. That's right. Hidden messages in images. Just fascinating stuff, where we're going with all this science and all this technology and how it affects our Homeland Security. She's going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. It's going to go on April 25th and 26th. Keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss, President of the World Disaster Management. And Melissa Flagg, who is just lately of the Department of Defense, going to have some very fascinating things to be talking to us about. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar here just a minute for today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes, we see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. Yes, that's why we threw in the coins. All right, oh spirit of the fountain, here is a political question for you today. What House Speaker told The Economist that smoking marijuana, quote, was a sign we were alive and in graduate school in that era, unquote? What House Speaker told The Economist that smoking marijuana was a sign we were alive and in graduate school in that era?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the
other. Oh, Speaker of the Fountain, come on. You should know better than that. You know your politics, don't you? You know all, hear all, and see all, and tell all. No, it wasn't Tip O'Neill. No. The House Speaker that told The Economist smoking marijuana was a sign we were alive and in graduate school in that era was none other than Newt Gingrich. All right, now back to our program. And so, if you were listening during the first half hour, you were introduced to Delilah Megrahi. She's with the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell, and Director of Research Center for Computer, Machine, and Human Intelligence Networking and Distributed Systems. She's going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference on residue analysis in aerial imagery surveillance. Yes, hidden messages in images. Yeah, fascinating stuff. So let's pick up where we left off.
And to be able to see how good your stitching, if you will, how to put those images together to have a bigger picture, you need to have what we call a residue analysis. What is the smallest information that is going to be detected, if you will, to make sure that the landmarks are really aligned so that I have a bigger picture of what I'm looking at.
Wow.
And we are also tackling the hyperspectral. As you know, all images that exist are in the visible, right? Most. But in the military or the defense arena, hyperspectral is becoming important because beyond the visible, there are wavelengths that are non-visible, infrared and higher, that can have some information that the naked eye cannot have. So having to stitch images with hyperspectral is a little bit complicated because as you go into the different wavelengths, the noise is going to become to be there. And from the laws of physics, we can only see up to the wavelength divided by 3.
Yeah.
So basically, as you move in the infrared and higher, long ways, it's very difficult to detect objects like we would with our eyes. But the whole idea here is, how can we use the information from the other bands, the other wavelengths, to have better reconnaissance, better surveillance? And we are talking about 70,000 miles. I mean, we are talking about high altitude. So everything looks like a pin for you from that altitude. So to be able to stitch, or what we call align or register images, it's very difficult because you don't have landmarks. So what we show in this paper is how to, what is the metric that we are using to make sure that the zero in on the right positioning and orientation of the images is the best one, so that we can say this is our results of panoramic view stitching all these images together.
Wow, that's some fascinating stuff. We're going to really super enjoy your presentations, both of them, the residue analysis and aerial imagery surveillance, and the cybersecurity hidden images will be just fascinating talks. I want to remind people that this is going to be at the Homeland Security Technology Conference. It's April 25th and 26th in Boston. You can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link to that conference, and be able to hear Delilah McGirby and her presentations. It'll be so fascinating. Delilah, could you kind of look down the road a little bit for us in the future, maybe 5 years, 10 years, or 15, or even longer? Do you have a view of what is coming and what we can expect?
I think of course, we are living in a very very interesting time where we all feel like threatened by either natural disasters or attacks, or whether it's cybersecurity or surveillance. So I think more and more research is going to be needed. I think we will need more people from different fields to join forces together and work together. For example, the image hyperspectral stitching of images, this is the work we're doing with the Air Force. But I think one of the biggest issues that I see happening is the lack of, it's not that people are not aware of what needs to be done. I think the problem is the lack of enough technologies that are existing to solve problems. In reality, as I am an engineer and scientist, usually when we do research, we always have an objective. This is what I want to solve, which is excellent, basic research. But unfortunately, in Homeland Security, you can have two types. You can, yes, indeed, what are the technologies that exist that will allow us to solve that particular problem. But if we do that, that means we are not paying attention to other technologies that we don't even know could exist to solve problems we haven't even seen yet, or we have started to see a little bit. So I think in the future, in the past 10, 15 years, I will see much more effort by many agencies, government agencies, universities, public sectors, getting together to try to formulate a bigger problem. Since I was even in elementary school, I think I always learned that sometimes it's defining a problem is almost the solution. If only we knew what are the actual problems that we need to solve, I think finding a solution will be there one day or another. The problem is we don't know everything that is going to be there as problematic. And we have to find a way to imagine certain things before they happen.
Wow. Okay. Good. Now, I know that during the course of your life, you've been mentored by some people that you've really admired, and I know that you're in your position as the director of the Research Center for Computer, Machine, and Human Intelligence there at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. You're doing some mentoring. Give us words to live by, some sort of a creed that you think is important as we go through life. What is a good word of wisdom for us?
I think having gone through what I have gone through my education and my profession, if I have to give a word of wisdom to the new incoming generations, no matter what your heart tells you to do in terms of discipline, follow that. But don't limit yourself to only one discipline. It's always good to know what are the problems that other disciplines are trying to solve, and you never know how important your view can be.
Okay.
I think that's the important thing to remember. I am part of a consortium led by the US FDA, and I work with 186 organizations, and I can see how important my work relates to the work of a nurse, of a biochemist, of a clinician, of all type of disciplines. We have to learn to talk to each other with the same language, and I think human beings, technically, but we manage to do that, and I think it's very important to rely on that. I would like to see in the future more of this type of initiatives coming from the government and the federal agencies to put together people from different disciplines and have them look at the problem freely and try to find a solution to it. I think that's the way to go. So my message to everybody else, follow your heart in terms of what you want to become, what disciplines, but never undermine the other ones, and always look into what you could do to contribute one way or another to the other ones. And they should do the same, too.
All right. Delilah McGurdy, the Director of Research Center for Computer, Machine, and Human Intelligence Networking and Distributed Systems at the University of Massachusetts, at the research center that she has founded, going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference April 25th and 26th. Going on in Boston. More information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, on the right-hand side of the screen. There will be a link to that website. Thank you so much for being with us, Delilah. You've been a fascinating guest, and we're going to look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, yes, the weeks were gearing up to the IEEE 2017 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies, going to be April 25th and 26th this spring, coming up at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts, and of course that's Boston. This is a famous and historic international conference on homeland security technology gaps. Key technical gaps are going to be closely examined, as they are every year. Experts gather from all over the world to confer to frame the challenges in protecting homeland assets. This year, the keynote speaker is Kay Goss, president of the World Disaster Management. And the technical program is all about emerging technologies in cybersecurity, land and maritime border security. There's biometrics and forensics. More biometrics all the time. It's getting to be really a very, very interesting subject of the show. Attack and disaster preparation, of course, and recovery and response. And, of course, strategy and threat characterization. ConOps is in it. Risk analysis, modeling, simulation, experimentation, and exercises in training, plus test beds, standards, performance, and evaluation. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Port Authority, one of the sponsors of the event, and they do a lot of buying of Homeland Security hardware and software, because it's a very sensitive thing to keep the port of Massachusetts, safe and secure. And high traffic networking. So if you attend, you'll be able to interact with other key attendees. And expect to see government officials, systems integrators, research laboratories, small businesses, academic institutions, industry leaders and investors. One of the key developers of the conference is Fausto Molinet. He is the founder of Matrix Corporation, and he's in Boston. We spoke with Fausto not too long ago on how the show came together in the first place, and here is a portion of that conversation. All right, now I want to change gears here just a little bit. You're really involved with a very successful Homeland Security conference that takes place in Boston every year. Were you at the beginnings of that? Were you part of the formulation early?
Yes, I was. There were several of us here in the Boston section who recognized after the 2001 attacks in New York and Washington that there needed to be a stronger emphasis on technology solutions to assist in Homeland Security. It's not the only thing that makes Homeland Security work, but technology solutions are very important. And so we said, let's come up with something that will introduce those kinds of technologies that are being developed for 3 to 5 years from today to be deployed. We would like to have a conference that will showcase those technologies, that will bring together people from the Homeland Security sector to talk about what they need, to take a look at some of these solutions, see whether or not they'll work, give inventors and early stage entrepreneurs and companies that are doing advanced research in this area an opportunity to present what they're doing. We were surprised that it took off. Well, maybe not surprised is not exactly the right word. We knew there was a need for that, but it took off pretty well. We got more papers than we expected for our first conference, and the numbers have grown beyond our expectations pretty much every year since then. And we've grown from about 100 people at the first conference up to nearly 500 now, and the participation is international in scope. We've had people from Poland to China and all countries in between attending and presenting. We hear from leading technology companies like Raytheon down to two guys across the kitchen table with an idea for detecting liquid explosives. So it just runs the gamut of pretty much everything, and it's an awful lot of fun to produce, and we feel it's helped a lot in introducing some of these people to the DHS market.
Yeah, I can imagine it's been a really fun thing to put together. And every year it's grown larger, and you say 500 people, but I think the point is these are very, very high-quality people. They're not tire kickers. These are really high-quality people that attend this event.
Right. That's true. We try to make sure of that. I mean, anybody can come that wants to attend, but we see a very high percentage of the people are those who are presenting the papers or perhaps offered us one that we didn't accept, and quite a number of the people that attend are government employees who are actively seeking or at least wanting to hear about what the latest ideas are. And sometimes some of the government agencies are there talking about what they do and what they can do for the companies who are developing technologies. They have some terrific testing and evaluation facilities that are available, and they like to let people know what they can do to support the introduction of these ideas.
Well, the next IEEE Homeland Security event...
It's probably going to be 2 days. We do have a third-day option if we see a good reason to extend it. We're adding some tutorials to it, and it may cause it to extend over 3 days. I'm not sure exactly what the status on the third day is at this point, but hopefully it will be a little longer. We like to make it bigger every year.
What can you tell us about this particular event? Is there anything outstanding that we need to know at this time, or are you still developing?
In the meantime, we're still soliciting exhibitors and sponsors for the conference, and we have a whole program that allows people who are offering products or services for sale in the Homeland Security industry to be able to be there and interact with all of the conference attendees and showcase what they have to offer. We do have an opportunity for about 16 spaces in that. It's a small exhibit program, but it's always been pretty successful, and they get very good access to all of the attendees.
All right. We're looking forward to the event. It's certainly is exciting now. This is the Well, it's been going on since 2001, I understand. You get it together pretty quick after 9/11, didn't you?
We did. I don't remember. I think our first conference was like in the late spring after 9/11, and we actually ran two conferences a year for a couple of years, but it turned out that that was an awfully hard thing to do, particularly using volunteer resources, which we mostly use for our program. So we shifted pretty quickly to one conference per year, and that's been very successful for us. Normally it has been in the spring of every year and from now on.
And if the weather in Boston holds fine, then you will never get any interference with a snowstorm or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll probably keep it pretty early.
Well, we're winding the interview down. Fausto, is there anything that I missed?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, I could probably talk forever, and I'm sure you could, but we'll give everyone else a break and let somebody else have the chance to say something.
Is there anything in the way of breaking news that we can use?
You can see who those all are at our conference website, which is www.IEEE-HST.org. And so you can find out if the people who are speaking are someone that you would really like to meet. And if so, I would strongly recommend attending the conference.
Okay, good. We've been speaking with Fausto Molinet. He's a founder of Matrix Corporation. He also is one of the founders and the leaders in the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference that goes on in Boston every year. Going to be in the spring time this year. It's April 25th through the 26th. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. Or you can go to IEEE-HST.org. It would be IEEE-HST for Homeland Security Technologies.org. This is a famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security. And the keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I would say take time for yourself. I'd say one of the things I probably didn't do effectively early on in my career was focus on me. You get busy with work and with your family and, you know, taking care of kids, and, you know, you can get consumed by all of that. What I've learned in the latter part of my career is to take a step back and try and practice a little bit of mindfulness. I do a lot of yoga, so you'll find me at yoga studios on Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturdays, you know, bright and early in the morning before I head to work. And a lot of that is to force me to slow down, to force me to take a look back and say, okay, what am I doing today? And be very mindful to, you know, breathe deeply and enjoy the moment that I'm in right now. So my name is Romelia Flores. I'm an IBM Distinguished Engineer and a Master Inventor working in the IBM Global Solutions Center located in Coppell, Texas.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.